Hi, everybody. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live returns for the second time on this oh-so-busy Tuesday here at the NovaCare Complex. Todd Bowles will meet the media in a short period of time. We've had a couple of hours to digest the news and contemplate what could be coming next. All sorts of, you know, water cooler conversations here, which mean absolutely nothing because Andy Reid's upstairs in his office making his own evaluation, calling the shots, and we are just trying to keep up with everything going on. But we do know this. Todd Bowles, the new defensive coordinator. Juan Castillo dismissed. That happened late on Monday night. The Eagles making the announcement on Tuesday morning. And here we are with our second Eagles Live show. Earlier you heard from Andy Reid, both in the auditorium and in the studio. We spoke to Sal Palantonio, as well as Adam Kaplan, Jeremiah Trotter. All of that I'm sure you have digested. We've heard from some callers. We'd like to hear from some more. Todd should be up at about 5 o'clock, so we've got a couple of minutes to kill here, so give us a call, 215-339-6709, and I wonder just how it's sitting with you Eagles fans. Let's go to Hector in Puerto Rico and begin there. Hi, Hector. How are you?
How you doing, Dave?
All righty, sir. What's on your mind today?
Well, let me first start with, you know, thank you to Juan Castillo. I mean, 14 years was, right?
Yeah, it was since 96, I think.
You know, I always, you know, I'm the type of guy that I like, you know, just to stay, you know, the same team, stay together, go to a draft, stay with those players, build a family, and I feel like, you know, Juan, he was part of that family, you know.
Yes.
You know, so all the best wishes for him and his family, and, you know, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working last year, so it had to be done. It had to be done. So, but Dave, he's not a problem. I gotta tell you the truth. I mean, that defense was always in bad situation. Every time it was Michael B with the turnovers or the special team, and they played well. They played well, and I think Juan did a really good job at it. You know, there were two straight games where, you know, the defense collapsed, but he was doing a nice job. You know, I was really impressed by the move.
With the improvement that the defense made. Well, I mean, obviously that's not what Andy Reid ascertained after watching all the film, after looking at the defense, what could have been, what should have been, and certainly now made the decision that that's not what he wants the defense to be. He does not want the defense to be a layback, let the offense dictate to them. What they're supposed to do. It is about being aggressive. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. You know, I know where Andy Reid's come. You know, he just wanted to change. And it is good. It is good because, you know, we have to play better. And the thing is, like I told the guys on Friday, Michael Vick is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, it's impressive, man. He's playing. At times, he's playing well. Then he's playing bad. He's throwing the ball. He's making bad situation. And Dave, you know that. Since I've been calling here, you know, I've been a Vick supporter. You know that, Dave.
Yeah.
I love Vick. I even loved him before he was an Eagle.
Yeah.
And I hate everybody that is not an Eagle. I really hate everybody.
I hear you.
I just liked Vick even before. And I gotta tell you, if this two next game, he doesn't bring it. I mean, there has to be a change, Dave, because we are all losing games, and most of the time it's because of him, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, Victor. Hey, Hector. Thank you for the call. Let me address Michael Vick. And we had Andy Reid in studio here. He made it very clear that is part of the evaluation. It is only Tuesday. He will continue to go through the offense, through the special teams, My guess, and this is a guess, is that Michael Vick will be the quarterback against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, at that point, he's on a game-to-game situation here. Can't live with the turnovers anymore. My guess is that they will contemplate making personnel moves up front along the offensive line. So what could those offense... And again, this is having conversations with people around the office. My guess is that you can maybe see King Dunlap at right tackle. Maybe you see Dennis Kelly at right tackle. Maybe you see Dennis Kelly go in as a guard. Somehow, you know, they've got to be better up front. Look, Michael's turned the football over too much. The offensive line has not played well. I can't say anything really bad about the wide receivers. I think DeSean Jackson's played outstanding football. Same with Macklin, same with Avant. I think the tight ends have played outstanding football. They need to run the football. But this offense is not without excuse. Andy Reid is not saying, okay, we're going to make this move on defense and that's it. He still has to go in and evaluate deeply, honestly, objectively, harshly. Special teams hasn't been a return in 2 years. The coverage has been spotty at best. Alex Henry, outstanding season, 11 of 12. Made an adjustment. He's now booming the ball on kickoffs. Matt McBryer, you know, had a couple of very, very good late game kicks the other day against the Lions. So, you know, this week is not over yet, people. What I'm getting from all the fans is, okay, we've dealt with the defense. Now let's talk about what else is going to be done. I don't know yet. Today is the day for the defense. Corey in New Jersey joins us. Hi, Corey.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. I got the alert on my way into work this morning and couldn't believe it. I had to take a snapshot on my phone and send it out to people. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it came, you know, surprising. Look, I mean, you can't sit here. We've talked about the defense the last couple of days. It was an unbelievable meltdown on Sunday. The week before, just getting gashed by the Steelers. And I think more than anything else, people, more than anything else, this defense did not surprise anyone. And when you have time to prepare for the same thing over and over and over again,
absolutely,
you're going to pay the price. I think Andy Reid just said enough.
That's something I wanted to point out. The league has tape on us now. You know, we got 50 sacks last year because people really didn't know what to expect when they were playing against us. But, you know, coming into this year, you've got a whole year of tape on us. People know what they have to do to block us. You know, you see quarterbacks now are taking three-step drops and getting that ball off. So they're calling short, quick hit routes. We have to be able to adjust, you know. And unfortunately, Juan wasn't able to, you know, make the necessary adjustments to help us get to the quarterback and force turnovers once they adjusted to our scheme. Hopefully Todd will be able to you know, throw some blitzes in there to bait quarterbacks into throwing the ball, you know, just to scheme it up a little bit so that we give them a little different look, because like you said, you know, quarterbacks are coming up to the line and they already know what every person on defense is doing. Every man on defense, the quarterback knows where he's going to be, especially by the fourth quarter. So I just hope that we can change it up a little bit, you know, not necessarily a new scheme, but just, you know, throw something out there that the offenses haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think, and thanks for the call, Corey, I think that it's going to be, as Andy Reid said here, it's going to be the same scheme, the same personnel, but the Eagles will play within the scheme differently, you know, and you'll see different calls. All right, Todd Bowles ready to meet the media across the hall.
Always.
Okay. What's these last 24 hours been like for you? And I mean, I'm sure you have some mixed feelings after working with Juan the last few months, but also a good opportunity for you.
You know, me and Juan had a great relationship, and to come in this morning and find out, it hadn't been 24 hours, actually been about 10. Find out, you know, he's a great guy, he's a great coach, he works hard. We had a great relationship as a staff, you know, and that's going to be sorely missed. But for us, in this business we chose, you know, we got to move on and try to make the best of what we can. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, Todd, you've held up a lot of positions, but never defensive coordinator. What type of adjustment is required to call plays, to make in-game adjustments, to do all those things you'll need to do now?
Well, I think you rely on the other coaches. As a staff, we put the game plan together, you know, and you just watch enough film and trust your instincts enough to make calls and make sure everybody's on the same page and try to take away what they're doing, but yet not expose what you're doing.
How would your defense be different from what we've seen so far?
Well, the only way it can be different is on the scoreboard. So hopefully if we come up with wins, it'll look different in all itself. In the end, you know, the main goal is to get the victory. However, we got to get it. And we're going over self-scouting right now, and we'll tweak things depending on the game we're playing that we need to tweak.
Will you make any, I mean, put any drastic changes as far as the front wide nine scheme? I mean, is that going to be staying intact or?
Yeah, it's staying intact. I mean, we run a wide nine. That's what we do. But game plan wise, depends on whether we do other things along with it.
How do you think your experience last year as an interim head coach kind of helped prepare you for this?
Last year probably was the biggest shock. So coming into this year, similar situation as far as it happening in season, it kind of prepares you not to get too high or too low, to just be professional and do your job. And if something happens, you're ready to do everything else also.
How has your experience as a player helped you communicate to players today? Because a lot of guys say that you're very good at simplifying things and making things very easy to understand. How's your experience as a player?
Well, you know, being a player, you can put yourself in the same situations because you've been in them. So when the guys come to you with problems and you can refer back to your playing days, you don't have to agree with them, you know, say this is why we're doing this or this is why they're doing this to you, and it just helps the relationship go a lot better.
What's your comfort level with the front seven and the guys, the linebackers, the D linemen who you haven't coached yet?
Oh, I'm extremely comfortable, and I don't think I'll coach them as a whole. I'll call the plays. Coach Washburn will coach them, you know, but at the comfort level, we get along fine.
What's your read on where the defense needs to make the most improvement?
We got to finish at the end of the games. You know, we got to finish and win games. The bottom line is, when you're out there on defense, it doesn't matter what happens. When you're out there at the end of the game, you got to finish.
How would you describe Todd Bowles' defense? What do you want it to look like? What kind of brand of football do you want this group to play the next 10 games?
Well, no different than any other coach. Sound, discipline, you know, fast, hopefully opportunistic, and get turnovers. We're playing hard. We're playing fast. The turnovers hadn't come. We're going to try to get more turnovers and keep the score down 1 point below what we have.
The decision to come here in the first place, you've spoken about it, but did it ever cross your mind that something like this could come up? Because obviously Juan wasn't in battle last year.
No, at the time me and Coach Reed talked, and me and Coach Castillo was strictly for a defensive back job.
Todd, what are the reasons you think the defensive front hasn't had as many sacks, as much pressure, and do you have plans to kind of come up with ways to do that going forward?
Well, it all depends on what you're trying to take away. You know, if it's a quick passing team, all you can do is get pressure to let it go early. You know, depending on what we have in the back or what's outside, we'll either pressure or lay back more depending on the game plan.
You have today, tomorrow, the rest of this week and the weekend until you guys reconvene, I assume on Monday. What do you need to do as far as film work, familiarizing yourself with personnel? What are these next few days going to be like for you? What do you need to prioritize?
Well, I mean, I'm very familiar with the personnel. That's not going to be a problem. Our thing is right now to go over our self-scouting and see what we do well and what we don't do well, and try to minimize the things we don't do well, if not get rid of them altogether. Make sure we're playing to each player's strength.
Have you reached out to a number of players just to communicate with them, to kind of get everyone on the same page early on here?
No, actually not yet. I've been in meetings all day, so I really haven't had a chance to.
If you're going to be on the field or in the booth?
We're discussing that in the next two or three days. We'll probably come up with that decision.
How do players typically react to this kind of midseason change you've been through before?
It's an adjustment. You know, the game plan adjusts every week, so I think the players, it's just another adjustment for them.
Have you talked to Juan since the move was made, and kind of what did he say to you, or what was that conversation like?
We've texted each other back and forth. You know, we've had a great relationship, like I said, and continue to have one. And I wish Juan nothing but the best. I think he's an outstanding person, an outstanding coach. Bill kind of taught me how to see the whole game and the team as a whole. He always wanted me to learn more than my position. You know, the biggest thing he taught me was, at the end of the game of a loss, the people that take the losses the hardest are the coaches. The players can forget about them in two or three days. The head coach has to move on and stand in front of you guys. But the defensive coaches are pissed off because they know what really happened. So you got to keep your coaches up to keep your players up.
The defense you were in for most of your pro coaching career, how much different is this system from those systems?
It's not much. I thought we did a lot more then, but a 4-3 is a 4-3, whether it's a zone scheme, a blitz scheme, or man scheme. Your four guys up front, whether the end are on a 9 or a 6, is pretty much the same.
And the past few months here in Philadelphia has given you enough time to know how to operate within this system?
Yeah, like I said, the 4-3 has been around a long time. This is not a new system. You know, they put the ends a yard wider, and everybody thinks it's a new system, but it's been around for a long time.
Having played at Temple, do you kind of feel, you know, being in Philly, being from North Jersey, do you kind of have a feel for what brand of football they like here and kind of a little kinship for the fans and what they're looking for from defensive? I mean, when you were playing, you know, this was a pretty good defense, good defensive town. Do you kind of have a feel for what they like here?
Yeah, and you know, they like to win, number one, you know, and they like us to get after it, and they like to see good football. And these are very knowledgeable and honest fans, and they're going to let you know when you don't.
Have you decided if you want to work from upstairs or from the field?
Not yet. We're still working on that. We haven't even gotten around to it yet.
Is there a preference? I mean, I'd imagine you've thought about being a defensive coordinator in the past. And have you thought about which one is more conducive?
I've been on the field and I've been in the box. You know, in the box, you're probably a little calmer because you can't yell at anybody and nobody's going to hear you. And on the field, you have hands on the players, but the reaction steps are a lot quicker out on the field. So you got to kind of get a feel for what the rest of your coaches can do and a feel for what your players need, whether I'm up or down.
Nnamdi Asamoah should be best utilized.
He's a corner. He's best utilized mixing man and zone coverages as we have been doing. There aren't too many things as a corner that you can or can't do. You can't go into a game and say, we're going to lock him down the whole game. You play 75 snaps of man coverage, you're going to get beat 3. You play all zone coverage, you're going to get beat. So we got to continue to mix it up and make sure that the game plan is conducive not only for him but the other 10 guys.
Did the guys, like the linebackers and the linemen, did they know you? Are you going to have to kind of introduce yourself to them?
No, we all know each other. We all know each other because part of the game plan is we all have specific parts that we break down. So they'll see me, they'll see Coach Caldwell, they'll see Coach Washburn, they'll see Coach Zordich. So we all have our days where we're running the meeting room, and as much time as we're around each other, we got to know each other pretty good.
How seamless?
If it works, it's great. If it's not, don't do it.
Do you anticipate blitzing often? Do you anticipate relying on the front floor, on the front four for most of your pressure?
Hopefully, timely pressure. You know, you can't blitz too much or too little. Too much of one thing leads them to do another. So, game plan wise and schematically, that all has to fit in during the week.
And not getting sacks or forcing turnovers, especially not getting sacks. What's been the main problem with this defense not doing
it? Well, it's a little bit of everything. Part of the time the ball's coming out quick, part of the time they're max protecting, part of the time we got to beat one-on-ones, and part of the time coaching wise we got to scheme it better and help those guys get free. So, you know, we're watching the self scouts right now, and in those reports and what we see on film, we'll try to adjust from there.
Have you been pleased with the corners this year?
They've been playing well. They covered, but you know, the main thing is not just the corners, it's all 11 guys trying to win.
The linebackers know you, the D-line knows you, obviously the D-backs know you. I mean, do you kind of anticipate this to be a really seamless kind of transition for you without any, you know, obviously your role is going to change somewhat, but to you, I mean, does your day kind of similar, your job similar?
It'll be a little different. You know, it's a little more film work because I'm expanding the game as far as the run, as far as just the pass. We watch the run as a secondary, but I don't think it'll change from their end. They're hearing the same message from a different person. I might have a different spin on it and my own ideas here and there and a few tweaks that they go through, but they'll understand exactly where we as a coaching staff are coming from and understand exactly what the game plan is as they have been.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
All right, that is Todd Bowles, new Eagles defensive coordinator. We'll get him in studio here. Let's take a break. I can hear this in my – can you mute that in my ear? All right, we'll just get some phone calls up. We'll get Todd in studio just in a few moments here. confident man, ready to go. And Todd Bowles has a busy, busy week ahead of him as he self-scouts and then gets this Eagles defense ready to play the Atlanta Falcons. 215-339-6709. Your reaction, your feelings. Certainly a busy and unusual day here in Eagles land at the NovaCare Complex. We're going to get Todd in studio in just a few moments. Is he ready? All right, so let's take a little break. And when we come back, Todd Bowles representing the Temple Owls in studio.
Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
The wheel has come a long way. And now there's one that can do more than just take you places. It can find them too. The new Super Pages mobile app. Spin, find, done. Get more results in more places faster than ever before. Local search has evolved. Download it today and take it for a spin.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
We welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by new Eagles defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. And listen, I know it's a very, very busy week for you. A couple of questions, if I may.
Sure.
And I don't pretend like you're going to spell out the entire what your game plan is going to be against the Atlanta Falcons here, but I'm going to give it a shot. How do you incorporate, Todd, what your scheme is into what is in place here moving forward? This is not necessarily the scheme that you drew up.
You know, we're doing self-scouting, and the wide nine is the wide nine. And you try to incorporate and tweak things as you see fit during the season. And us doing the self-scouting stuff gives me a good idea of what things need to be done going forward.
What do you think you have? You've been here for six games. I mean, do you think you have a good, talented group of players who can bring that versatility that you like?
I mean, I think we have a very talented group of players. We just got to finish ball games and close them out at the end.
Yeah. How frustrating was Sunday for you? I mean, the whole coaching staff must have been gut-wrenching. Yeah,
still gut-wrenching. You know, you got to win those type of ball games. We didn't win. We can't cry about it. We got 10 games left. We got to get on our horse and get ready to go.
Todd, is this defense, I mean, when we spoke here, when you became the secondary coach, you listed some principles that you believe in. You got to play with intelligence. You got to be physical, fearless. I mean, this doesn't change, right? You're still looking for the same thing.
It's all the same. We try to preach that from day one. You know, part of it, the players have to play. Part of it, the coaches have to coach. And together, we've got to come together, and we got to make this thing work.
How do you motivate players? What's your ways of doing it? You're not a yeller and screamer,
There's
right?
different switches for different guys. I have times where I go off the handle, but, you know, there are guys that get it on the first try when you can talk to them. There are guys that need to be motivated, that you got to yell at them and push them and get them going and crack the whip. And there are guys that you got to coddle a little bit, but, you know, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. All of them are different. You got to get to know your players, and the main thing is they have to know and understand what you're trying to do and bring it together.
And you know the players in outside of the secondary enough to know who to hug and who to
Yeah, we're around each other all day. Okay. You know, it's not about getting to know them, it's getting to play.
Yeah.
And however that works, we got to work. They understand it as grown men, and we understand it as coaches that we got to help each other.
When you say self-scout, I'm not sure fans really understand what that is. Does that mean you literally look at every single play, every single call through the first six games?
Well, we'll look at runs by formation and things that hurt us and things that try to attack our scheme, and we'll try to adjust those things from there, as well as the passes and formations, schemes, plays, frequency of plays, and what we're getting to open our eyes a little more and make adjustments going forward in the second half.
Is a scheme that much different from Philadelphia to Dallas to New York to Washington in the NFL? Is it tremendously different from one team to the next?
It is, depending on the coordinator. You know, everybody has their own system and how they watch film and how they want their team to play, whether it be at 3-4 blitzing, wide 9, 4-3, but you have to kind of put your own spin on it as far as protecting or exposing your 11 guys, who needs the help the most that week and who doesn't need the help, and you got to kind of scheme that way and as addition to stopping the offense.
I know it's been a crazy day. Are you able to put into words how you feel right now?
Still pissed off from Sunday.
Yeah.
So
good.
You know,
I like to hear that.
We got 2 weeks of being pissed off. We haven't played a game yet, and we got to get to work.
Yeah. In Miami, you had time to kind of build. And there's not a ton of time here to get this thing together. Tell fans how it kind of works. How is it dramatically changed between now and next week? Do we know yet?
It dramatically changes if the scoreboard changes.
Okay.
We win, it's great. We lose, it doesn't dramatically change.
Right.
We have to make it dramatically change.
A lot of feedback from players today?
A couple of texts here and there. We're with you, we're ready to go, and those type of things. Just ready to get to work.
And so I hope you didn't have plans for the bye week prior to this day.
No, I didn't have any plans for the bye week.
Okay.
I got my work cut out for me.
Todd, how much time will you spend, you know, kind of breaking down things before you get into Atlanta? Is it all this week you get into what you've done, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you start looking at Atlanta? How's it work?
We've been doing all this week, but we've been looking at Atlanta also. So we're trying to study ourselves in the morning and look at a little bit of Atlanta here and there. But first, we got to fix the things we need to fix before we move forward.
Are you pleased with how the secondary has come along here through six games? I mean, Dominique playing very well, Namdi playing very well, Brandon stepping up at the slot position, the safety's playing very well. Talk about that group.
Those guys come in and work hard. You know, we left some plays out there. They'll be the first ones to tell you that. And we're trying to be perfect, and we're not perfect, but we got better. We can get even better. I don't think we scratched the surface yet of how good those guys can be. And we're going to go about it next week and make sure that happens.
You excited to be back calling the signals for the defense, calling the game?
Oh, yeah. It'll be a great excitement for me. I think it's more for the players, though. And those guys work the hardest, and they deserve a chance to win. I'm just trying to help them.
Do you believe coaches make players better players, or players make coaches better coaches?
I think it goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. If you have a lot of talent and you can sit back and say, get them, yeah, they probably can make you better. If you don't have a lot of talent, then your coaching expertise comes in. But, you know, there are times where they're going to bail you out on the field and make athletic plays because they're phenomenal athletes. And there are times, most of the time, as a coach, you just try to guide them in the right direction to make sure they understand the principles when they see things that aren't normal.
Last thing, who out there in the history of kind of defensive coaching that you've been studying that you've looked at and said, boy, I really admire that coach's creativity? Or have there been coaches that you've kind of modeled the creativity part after?
The coach I played for with the Washington Redskins, Richie Pettibone, and a lot of people don't know him, but he was phenomenal at that time as an X's and O's coach. And Emmett Thomas was my defensive back coach for my whole career, except for one. Then that was Ray Rhodes. You know, those guys taught me a lot of, you can only scheme but so much, but your fundamentals and your principles shouldn't go anywhere.
Okay.
You know, if you can mix that in with some of the X's and O's, you'll have a successful career.
Well, those are great coaches to model your basics of coaching after. I mean, we know Richie Pettibone here. He kicked the Eagles' rear ends for a long time, and Emmett and Ray were here, and great defenses here with those guys.
The guy I've been with in Miami, Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan, who you'll see against the Atlanta Falcons, right?
He's helped me out tremendously, too, and you know, he's also an outstanding coach.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Todd Bowles. Thank you for stopping by today. Have a great week, and let's get that bad taste out of the mouth against the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Todd Bowles on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party. Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
Dave Spadaro here inside our Xfinity studio. We get another perspective of the news during the bye week. Todd Bowles in, Juan Castillo out as defensive coordinator, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Merrill Reese joins us. Merrill, let's first talk about what this means moving forward with Todd Bowles in command. What would you like to see more of from this defense?
Well, I'd like to see more of a shutdown defense, Dave. I'd like to see a defense that can take command of a game at the end of a game with the lead and finish it. And this what this defense hasn't done. They haven't been able to finish games. And, of course, we would like to see a defense that puts not just pressure on the quarterback, but puts the quarterback on the seat of his pants. No sacks in three games is absolutely unimaginable.
Yeah, and to me, Merrill, that's the most stunning part of this whole season, 6 games into it for the defense. Where is the pass rush pressure gone? I mean, you've seen defensive linemen fall off the cliff, as they say. Do you sense that this pass rush punch is just too old up front?
I don't sense that it's too old. I can't imagine that you have had that kind of decline by people like Trent Cole or Jason Babin, who had all of those sacks last year. I can't imagine that they suddenly lost their knack for getting the quarterbacks. I don't know what has happened. Obviously, some of it has to be scheme.
Merrill, what kind of impact do you think this has throughout the locker room? The immediate impact for these football players who are sitting here during their bye week, all of a sudden, they're going to come back to work on Monday with a new boss in front of the room.
Well, it's got to have a big impact, as everything has had impacts. You know, each week where the special teams hasn't done well, they've dropped one player. They dropped Brian Rohl, and they brought in Adrian Moten, and they dropped Adrian Moten, and they brought in Jason Williams. So they are moving people, and they are basically saying, if you don't produce, you're gone. And this is the first time they've said it to a coach. This is the first time they've made a move, not just a coach, but the defensive coordinator. And it's tough, Dave, because all of us who are around the Eagles, all of us who have spent time over the last decade plus with the Eagles, realize that Juan Castillo is a wonderful, wonderful person and one of the most hardworking individuals on the face of the earth. And nobody put more into the job or had more heart or desire to succeed. But at the same time, it is a business. And we've seen this with head coaches, and we've seen this with assistant coaches, and now it hits with the defensive coordinator. And it's a move, obviously, Andy Reid felt he had to make. It's a dramatic move. It's a major move. But Andy Reid knows all about the stakes.
And Merrill, speaking of Andy, I mean, you know, you're very close to him. Did you have any sense at all that this was coming?
None. Absolutely none. You knew yesterday, Dave, when you listened to Andy at the press conference, that something was up. When Andy uses words like not at this present time or not at the moment, then you know something is going to happen. He didn't say, no, Juan Castillo is my defensive coordinator. He said, not today, not at this moment. So you knew that there was a move in the offing. Whether that was going to be the move or whether it was going to be a switch where Juan would be in another area, but you knew something more than cosmetic was about to occur.
Merrill, what do you know about Todd Bowles? It's been not a whole lot of time to get to know him. He's a quiet man. Have you had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him?
Not a lot, but I do know Todd, and I have spent time with him, had a long conversation with him in Arizona. He's an extremely bright guy. He's a guy, Dave, who 2 years ago, if the Eagles, after Sean McDermott left, if the Eagles had announced that Todd Bowles was the new defensive coordinator, none of us would have blinked. We would have said, good, let's see what he can do. He's certainly ready for the job. He's qualified. He's done A, B, C, D, all the right things to lead up to the job of defensive coordinator. And add to that the fact that he was so highly thought of in Miami that he was named interim head coach when they let go of Tony Sperano last year. So I think Todd Bowles is an eminently qualified defensive coordinator.
Merrill, can the season be saved?
Yes. Yes. Just look at the records, Dave. They're 3-3. They're really, the Giants are 4-3. So the Eagles are 3-3 right now. That's it. So certainly the season can be saved. And I really think that this team has a shot to go a long way. Look at the Giants last year. They snuck in on the last day, went to the playoffs at 9-7, and now they hoist another Lombardi trophy. The talent on this team is good enough. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have concerns. Principally, Dave, I'm very concerned about the personnel on the offensive line. I think this is an area that has to be addressed and addressed immediately. But overall on the roster, they have great skill position players. They have a lot of defensive talent. This defense has to be improved, has to be better than what they've been.
Well, Merrill, we've got 10 games to go in the regular season. We thank you very much for your time. It is never boring, for sure, around the Philadelphia Eagles. Merrill, thanks so much.
Okay, Dave. Thank you.
On my journey across America, I found new ways to tell people about saving money. This is Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
Do you know you could save hundreds on car insurance over the phone, online, or at your local GEICO office? Tell us, Bobby, what would you do with all those savings?
I am a bit of a ventriloquist. Your lips are moving.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Can you feel that? Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to do, let me get that. They don't know what I hold, man. They don't know what I hold. Hit everything. Give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. Hold in on three. 1, 2, 3, hold in.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Flacco backpedals. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him. Flacco takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He fires. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted by the Eagles. It's picked off by D'Amico Ryans. They say he's down on contact. But D'Amico Ryans with the pick.
Hey, it's D'Amico Ryans. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro with you. Take some phone calls. Then we've got Brian Baldinger. You're going to want to hear this, his perspective on the move today to make Todd Bowles the defensive coordinator. Let's go to Zompy in New York. Hey, Zompster.
How about those Bears, baby?
Yeah, Zompy's back.
I feel good, man. Finally, some happiness.
Well,
see you later, Juan. Thank you for coming.
Oh, now come on. I love Juan. I've worked with Juan for a long time. It's always very bittersweet for me when a coach or a player leaves. I respect these guys, the hours they put in, how much they know. They really, really dedicate themselves to their profession. Let's just hope that the defense responds to Todd Bowles in a positive way, and this Eagles defense plays to its ability for four quarters.
I respect that 100%. Don't get me wrong. Of course I
know.
I do. But
wonder, do fans feel more confident in the defense now?
I mean, can I be honest with you? Do I know anything about Todd Bowles? Can I say, all right, the defense is, you know, they're going to do little tweaks here and we're going to be like Jim Johnson days? No, but I tell you one thing. I just have a feeling with this guy that 3rd and 12, we're not going to be playing no soft coverage. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be blitzing trying to get home.
Right. And listen, I think that 3rd and 12 play and the performance in that fourth quarter, the performance in this fourth quarter against Detroit very much factors in this decision that Andy Reid made today.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic to see what else is going to happen. Even if nothing else happens, you know, I'm fine with this right now. And, you know, Todd Bowles, I just know he'll blitz more. He'll use Namdi and DRC the way they're supposed to be used. And, you know, I'm very interested now, and finally I could say, like, you know, I'm excited, you know? I haven't said that in a long time.
What else needs to be fixed here, Zomper?
besides the quarterback?
What would you like to see done at quarterback?
Come on, Dave. I don't want to get involved, man. I've been getting torched with this.
Yeah.
You know how I feel.
we understand.
Yeah, I know. What can I say? Todd Bowles is going to hopefully fix the defense, but, you know, like I said, I want to just see more blitzing at the right time. Not, like he said, just blitz. Come out there blitzing because then, you know, they'll adjust to it. But yeah, I want to see more blitzes on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, downhill.
We want to see hey, thanks for the call, Zomper. We want to see an unpredictable defense. We want to see a defense that keeps offenses on edge. We want to see a defense that dictates to the offense. We want to see a defense that takes the football away. I mean, let's take the foot. This Eagles defense, 50 sacks last year. A lot of them coming later in the year, you know, when that four-game winning streak and, I don't know. It just seemed like Juan loosened it up then and then didn't loosen it up early on here. And I know for Todd Bowles, today is a bittersweet day. Nobody likes to see a comrade lose a job. Let's go to Dan in California. Hi, Dan.
How's it going, Dave?
All right. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Your feelings?
What's that?
Your feelings?
Say it one more time, Dave. I can quite understand you.
Your feelings on the move today?
I feel a bit more confident with Todd Bowles as the new coordinator because he's got experience on defense, and I had hesitations last year when Andy named Juan the defensive coordinator since he was an offensive line coach, never worked on a defense.
Okay.
But, no, I feel confident. I think our defense will improve now with Bowles as the coordinator.
I mean, his resume there is an impressive one. His credentials are very positive, and he's produced everywhere he's gone, so he's got a busy week in front of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, now that we fix that, I think the next area that we got to make changes at is the offensive line.
And what would you suggest doing?
I've heard a lot of guys say put King Dunlap back in there, maybe move Todd Harriman's. I was thinking, though, what about moving Demetrius Bell to guard, because I'm not been impressed with Danny Watkins these last few weeks.
I think Danny's struggling. Thanks for the call, Dan. I think Danny Watkins struggling. I think Demetrius Bell's struggling. I think Todd Harriman's struggling. I mean, Howard Mudd has a very, 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 very difficult job ahead of him this year. You could bring Dennis Kelly in. You could bring King Dunlap in. You know, you could move Todd Harriman to left tackle. I mean, I don't know. I just think the offensive line has been disappointing. And then I'll tell you, there are times when the offensive line's really given a lot of time to Michael Vick. I mean, there's just the whole offense. It's just not in rhythm. The whole offense is not to the level that it needs to be. And Andy Reid is going to evaluate that as the week goes along here. What changes will be made, I don't know. But, and there may not be anything that we know about until the game against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's go to Stuart in Long Island. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
All right. Good move today. My app. I'm kind of sad for one, but he had to go. You know, he's an outside coach. Couldn't do it. My question is this. The last four games last season, we had a lot of pressure. The first two games we did, but what happened? Like, why are you just telling this?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, Stuart, is that the scheme didn't change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that from one week to the next, offensive coordinators were like, okay, this is what we're going to see, so let's block it up. Not that hard.
My question I asked you, the overtime game, I think the special teams need help big time because we can get in a good field position, especially overtime.
Yeah.
Where the balls are 10-yard line and you pass three times. No. You got to try to get the little running game going, see how it goes, or screen pass, because Michael Vick can't kill up there, and I think that's why we lost the game overtime.
I think that's part of this week's evaluation. I agree.
Or just go for a touchback, get the ball at 20-yard line, and do what we do best. I mean, that's so disappointing that overtime loss. Really was.
Stuart is one of the most disappointing losses that I can remember. Now, look, I'd probably say that about – I actually said the same thing about Pittsburgh, said the same thing about the Giants last year and losing a 10-point lead to the Falcons and the 49ers. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, man, those four games, man. We should be 12-4.
Yeah, well, there's no shoulda, coulda, wouldas in the NFL. Yep. You are what you are,
that's
man.
That's right, man. Nothing is up, and so you think we have changes maybe, like scheme-wise? Like, I know the offline is death, not that good, but you think maybe trade maybe? For players,
Thanks for the call. I don't see Stewart a trade. I don't. Will there be changes to the scheme? Yeah. Will there be changes to the personnel? I would think so. Somewhere. Will there be changes, major changes to the personnel? In other words, will the quarterback be changed? I don't believe that to be the case, but I don't know. I mean, I think at the very best for Michael and for everyone, with maybe the exception of LeSean McCoy and probably Jeremy and Celek and Deshaun, I mean, you're on a game-to-game thing here. Eagles cannot afford these mistakes, the penalties, the turnovers, all of that. Let's take one more phone call before we get to Brian Baldinger. A great national perspective here. Spoke to Baldy just a short time ago. And he's obviously very much in tune with what the Eagles do and the perspective that he hears from around the league on what the Eagles do. He works for the NFL Network and works in our Eagles Television Network broadcast family. And so it's just been a fascinating day here. And we're kind of all waiting for the next move. Not convinced. I'm not convinced there'll be another coaching move. Not convinced of that. There could be a personnel move, but not sure. All right, Tino in Houston joins us. Hi, Tino. Hello, Tino. Hey.
No.
Hey, how you doing? What's on your mind today, sir?
We got to make some moves, man.
What would you like to make? Go ahead. You be the GM.
On offense, definitely. On offense. I think the offensive line needs some changes.
Okay, go ahead. Make the moves. Tell me.
How about Todd Harriman to the left tackle and maybe Ken Dunlap, the right tackle?
That's.
I think he played better at right tackle, I think last year or the year before that.
Hey, and that is a possible move. You know, John Abraham comes to town this week. Maybe you get King on the field. He's had success against John Abraham. I mean, I don't know.
And what about Daniel Watkins? I mean, what was going on there, man?
He was reaching. He was off balance. It was a very tough game for Danny Watkins. Not only with what was happening inside with Sue and Farley, but helping out at right tackle with Cliff Averill. Too many whiffs up front for the Eagles. And it's not just Danny Watkins. It's not just Todd Harriman's or Demetrius Bell. It's the whole group. Yeah.
What about, do you think Steve Vallos can maybe come in and help out guard? I don't know.
I think everything's on the table. I think Andy Reid's going into this week. You know, thanks for the call. I think Andy Reid goes into this week and says everything is on the table. And I think he's still in that process. All right, we're going to take a little break on the other side. Brian Baldinger joins me on the telephone. You are not going to want to miss this. Great perspective of what he thought about Juan, what he thinks moving forward for this Eagles defense and the rest of the 2012 season. Eagles Live coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Why spend your Sundays anywhere else than on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, where you'll see every touchdown, every bone-crushing hit, and every jaw-dropping play of the 2012 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and the post-game show presented by Rico, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We get another perspective here. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, part of our Eagles television network with Eagles Game Plan. Brian, I talked to you a couple of years ago when the Eagles made Juan Castillo the defensive coordinator. You were shocked. How about on the day that Juan is no longer the defensive coordinator and Todd Bowles in? Are you as shocked today?
Yeah, I am. Just because, you know, Andy's never done anything like this before, and I think this is strictly his move here and his decision. And also because I don't think that the troubles the Eagles have had through the first 6 weeks, however you want to identify those, can all be laid at the doorstep of Juan Castillo. However, I do think they have a good option in Todd Bowles, and so I think they're going to try door number two here to see if they can change things up a little bit.
Tell me what you saw from Juan from an X's and O's standpoint week to week with the defense here.
Well, especially in the last 3 weeks, Dave, just highly predictable. I mean, they're so married to their front four, which is fine, where they don't really do anything. You know, once you get a team that knows exactly what you're going to do and where you're going to be every play, I mean, you give Pittsburgh, you give the Giants, you give, you know, the Detroit Lions time to look at it, go, okay, well, we'll do this protection scheme. And once you get in a predictable fashion of what you're going to do play to play to play, even if you're really good at it, it becomes a lot easier to attack you. And that's really what's happened. And so really what you see is they've got a great deal of fear that they put in the opposing offenses. Now, if you change things up, four-man rush, six-man rush, zone pressure, overload, disguise, I mean, once you start changing it up and get them guessing, then you really can unleash a fury. But the fact that they were so predictable, I mean, the 45 passes that Matt Stafford threw on Sunday against the Eagles, 40 of them were a straight four-man rush. And even the blitzes that came, there was no real disguise or anything difficult about them. And I think two things have resulted, Dave. One, they're not getting sacks. And sacks can be a little misleading, but sacks generally are an indicator that you're causing havoc and pressure causes takeaways, and they're not getting takeaways right now. So that's really the trends that I think Andy Reid have seen that he wants to try to change right now.
How dramatic could potentially this defense look to the casual fan in the weeks to come now with Todd running the defense? Do you expect a dramatic difference?
I think the results are going to be different. I think the results are going to be better. I think they have a lot of good chess pieces to work with. Are they flawed a little bit? You know, but everybody is to this point. I think that they could be a lot better because I think the fear of the pass rush is there. It's there because you can tell the way the teams defend against it. But the trick then is to get teams into max protection and only rush and still get to the quarterback with an overload. Think you're coming from one side and you come from another side. So there's got to be an element of disguise and an element of pressure that can be disguised that you got to make other teams defend and think about, in addition to having some pretty good pass rushers individually.
Brian, any concern on your part that front four with Trent and with Cullen Jenkins, who's been really quiet, Jason Babin, that they've just gotten old and ineffective?
No. I think they're still effective. I think they're frustrated because, you know, all they're seeing is a brick wall in front of them every play. And so maybe the tenacity that they rushed with a year ago isn't quite the same, but I would say that there's been a drop-off of Cullen Jenkins. But I think Jason Babin and Trey Cole still have a great deal left in them. I think, you may want to take a look more at Vinny Curry or Philip Hunt, more than, what we've seen from Cullen Jenkins, because I thought we saw a drop-off last year, and people said, well, it's just because he played too much. Well, he didn't do much during the preseason. He hasn't done anything during the season. So that was a guy, I think, that if you want to say, okay, we've seen the best of them, let's start looking at some of these younger guys that we have, I think that's a personnel change that you might see and might be warranted. But I think, you got to give these guys a chance. And I think Todd's going to give them a chance by changing things up a little bit.
Brian, this Eagles secondary seems to have played pretty darn well through six games. When he's used like he was used for the first three quarters on Sunday, very effective. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, very effective. Nate Allen playing well. Is that an indication of how good a coach Todd Bowles is?
Partly, yeah. I mean, I don't think, Todd's going to see, I don't care who the receiver is going forward, but I don't think you'll see Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie in the slot defending anybody. I mean, he's just not very good in there. He's a much better player on the outside. So I think you'll see a lot of man. I think you'll see a multiple of coverages and disguised coverages. I think that's where Todd's going to get you. And I think he's going to put guys in a better position. I think, I don't think the safety is going to be so quick to bite on the run right now. And I think they'll, continue to defend the deep ball pretty well.
Ryan, you've been around the team. Obviously, you talk to a lot of players. You talk to people around the league all the time. Did people buy into Juan here? Is that part of the reason he's not here?
I think that was part of it. I mean, I just think, if you look at a guy like Asante Samuel, I mean, he's playing the best football I've seen him play in 5 years in Atlanta. And I think a large part because when Mike Nolan stands up in the front of the room, he believes Mike Nolan's, one of the top five defensive coordinators in the league, which I think he is. And I think there's just a trust and a buy-in factor to a veteran player. And I don't think anybody has gone public. I think they've been very professional on the defensive side of the ball, especially the experienced players over there, about listening to Juan. But I think at the end of the day, they think that there's a lot more that they could do. And players are always going to respect a guy that's aggressive and they feel is winning the chess match each Sunday against the opposing offenses. And I just think that I think there was some of that was lacking with Juan.
Brian, listen, you've been in the position as a player. What is that initial reaction when you hear of this kind of news, of the coach speaking about potential more changes and unsatisfied with a 3-3 record, and it seems like everybody's on high alert around here?
I think that's good. I think that's a good thing. I don't think, Andy did this to shock anybody or to send a message, but I just think he looked that the last two games that were very winnable ball games, despite other flaws within the team, and I think he's trying to correct it right now because I think he looks around the league and says everybody's flawed. We have as good a chance to win this whole thing as anybody if we cut down the mistakes and we stop giving up big plays with the game on the line. And I think he went and is trying to fix one area of it right now. And I think anybody that's been around Todd Bowles, A, I think you're impressed by him. B, I think he's smart. And C, I think he's going to get guys' attention. And I think he's a good teacher. And I think he'll be a good day. I mean, we'll find out if he's a good game day coach because we don't know. But I think that's, you know, that's where this team has to get better. Game day, when the game is on the line, what are we doing here to help, you know, to make sure that we can win this game and do enough to win the game and, you know, get to the postseason. And so I think, you know, the players are probably in their bye week right now, on the phone to each other, on the phone around the league to their friends about what just happened. But I think when they come back, I think, you know, when Todd Bowles steps up in front of the room and when Andy steps up in front of the room, I think both those guys are going to have everybody's undivided attention about what needs to be done going forward.
Hey, Brian, your perspective here, there are obviously, it's not just the defense that struggled through six games. What else needs to be done to get the Eagles on the right track and keep them there the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I think they've got to cut down on the mistakes of the offensive line. I mean, it's inexcusable, the breakdowns that they've had up front. Mental breakdowns as well as just technical breakdowns. I mean, I'm watching Todd Harriman cross his feet, and I'm watching, you know, Danny Watkins not knowing that he's got inside help on a pass rush and he's stepping outside. You know, I'm watching, you know, breakdowns. I'm watching Demetrius Bell do a spin move to recover when he's beaten. That, you know, I mean, just watching breakdowns fundamentally. So fundamentals always have to be stressed. You know, I think the plays that have been designed for big plays have to get executed. I mean, they had one on Sunday to DeSean Jackson. You got to make the throw. I mean, those things are all, you know, special teams has to get better all the way around. You can't lose games because of special teams, and you got to try to find ways to win special teams, games within the special teams. And they're not doing that right now at all in any phase of it. So I think there's a lot of improvement on special teams. Play calling on offense, I think, can be improved. I mean, 10 negative plays on offense is more than you should have in two games combined. And they had that in one game against Detroit. So, I mean, I think you got to take a look at what this offensive line does well and start catering the plays to it, because Jason Peters and Jason Kelce aren't here anymore. And those guys were exceptional athletes at their position, and they don't have those players. So I don't think you can no longer call those type of plays that require that type of athleticism.
Hey, Brian, last thing. Everybody's asking. Everybody's got an opinion. So what's yours? What do you do with the quarterback position?
Well, the quarterback is not helping you win games right now. You know, those 31 turnovers in the last 19 games is the most in the league. And he's 10-9 as a starter. And I don't know that you can take it out of him. It's clear on Sunday against Detroit, he put an emphasis on ball security. Two hands on the ball, breaking the pocket. He tucked it away. He did all those things right. But he threw the two interceptions, and one was inexcusable. And so you're 10-9 with Mike Vick in the last 2 years at quarterback. I mean, he looks like a quarterback that's basically going to win eight games for you as a starter. I think you have to look at the backup quarterback right now as a viable option to help you win football games. Other teams have, and they're winning games with them. I don't think you can live in fear of playing a rookie quarterback right now. I know this. You live in fear of the quarterback turning the ball over as much as he has in the last 19 starts that he's had.
All right, Brian Baldering, we thank you very much. Interesting days ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks so much, Baldy.
Okay, Dave.
Let's go! He played the main, baby! Let's get him! Oh, first game's out! 60 minutes! No, man, 60 plus minutes!